Yes, amen. Help me praise Him. Help me praise Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for everything that You do in our midst. And Lord, we just thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your presence, Your salvation. Father, Your prosperity upon Your people, the way that You look out for us, Lord, the way that You meet our needs. Father, we pray for all the needs of the house, those that are sick, those that are well, those that have financial needs, Lord, those that have relational needs, or those that have needs in their families or within their children. Father, I pray that You reach deep into their lives and You move in a mighty, mighty way today in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. Amen. A little bit of housekeeping real quick. Next Sunday, September the 16th, we are going to do a baptism. Somebody came forward and said we need to be baptized, and we talked about it. So next Sunday morning, after the music, right before the service, we're going to do a baptism. If there's anyone else that needs to be baptized, or if you know of someone that would like to be included, they need to get with me. All right? They need to get with me, and I will meet with you this week. We'll chit-chat, and then next Sunday morning, we'll do a public confession. Let's talk about Facebook for a moment. We typically, now I look at if it's a sign in a front yard, if it's your opportunity to hold a door for somebody and tell them God bless you. If your neighbor is out watering the flowers and you step outside and they tell you, you know, it's just been a rough week. And you say, you know what, I want to pray with you, and you pray with them. Every moment that we get in this life to sow a seed into somebody's life, that's the way I see it. I see the world as a huge field that's been plowed and is being churned up by issues and problems. And I see moment by moment, minute by minute, an opportunity to present Jesus to somebody. Speaking of which, we reach between 500 and 1,200 people a week just on social media. And I want the church collectively, I think we can do better than that. Whether they never set foot in the church or not, really, I'm neither here nor there on that. My job is to pastor the flock of God and to sow seeds into the community. Amen? That's the job. You put the bait out there, and God takes care of the fish. The job is to reach out. If you're not friends with the Coshocton Baptist Church Facebook page, don't let the sun go down before you friend the page. When you see a post, if it speaks to you and you like the post, they look much like this every week with an excerpt about what's coming up the next week. I give you a little snippet of what God is saying to us. And then I try to go in there and make sure that I remind you what was said to us last week to help encourage us on our walk. Because sometimes the walk gets a little lonely here in the world. It's good when the people of God can come together and continue to share with one another, even though we're not here in our presence. So once you like the post, click the share button. That way you can become the evangelist and share that message with the people that are on your page. Right? Right. Okay. Then, when you go on the Facebook page, there will be a little button that says invite. If you click the invite button, it will pull up your friend list and allow you to click the invite button to invite your friends on your list to like the church page. If this is the little bit of seeds that you get to sow into the community every week, I want to tell you to be a top-notch evangelist and take the initiative and do it. Amen? Because the more people that we fish to, the more people that can have their lives changed by the power and the anointing of God. It is never about the number. It is always about the life. And if we don't share it with them, how else are they going to get it? That's the way I look at it. If we don't share it with them, how else are they going to get it? All right? And the last thing about that is you will want to go to the page. I am going to start with the very much help of Matt back here. He doesn't know it quite yet until now. I am going to start a weekly video series, and I'm going to go through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go chapter by chapter, and we're going to release a video series through Facebook, again, for you to evangelize and to share, but also to teach us more of what God is saying to us. Amen? Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray that you remove me out of the way, God. I pray that you speak through me. I pray that your word becomes what they hear, God. I ask that you change us, make us new creatures in Jesus' name. Allow us to become a new creature and then reach a person to see them become a new creature. That is the gospel. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. And I ask that you penetrate the hearts and the minds of those that sit here today. Lord, those that will listen via the website this coming up week. Father, I pray that you move into their life permanently. God, that they would welcome you and allow you to, and change them in Jesus' mighty name by the power of his word. Amen. Amen. All right. So today we're talking about falling forward, or we could say failing forward. As I was thinking about this week, I thought, you know, is there an art to falling? This person failed at it. But is there an art to falling? And in a small way, I think that there is. And if I ask you the question, would you rather fall forward or would you rather fall backwards? Who would rather fall forward? Okay. Anybody want to fall backwards? Why don't we want to fall backwards? They say that hindsight is 20/20. You would know he would say that. Yeah, hindsight. Okay, look. This is for Preston. This is the situation I want to fall backwards. In the spirit of hindsight being 20/20, we don't realize what may be back there that can harm us or hurt us until it's too late. In this particular person's sense right here, there's probably sticks, or it looks like there's a concrete path, maybe with some leaves falling on it. This is not a good day right here. This is not a good day. But what happens when we fall forward? When we fall forward, we have the opportunity to catch ourselves or to guide the fall. We have the opportunity to try to knock the chair out of the way instead of to hit our head on it. I think that especially as we grow a little bit older, you know, when you was running around as a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old or whatever, there was probably a lot of falling backwards. A whole lot of falling backwards. Probably one of the first falls was standing up and waddling along and then falling back on your behind. Then as we get older, the way that we're made, we just have this want to fall forward because we want to catch ourselves. We want to try to prevent as much injury as possible. And is what I want to ask you is, why don't you feel that way spiritually? Why don't you feel that way spiritually? In the sense of falling, why do so many of us fall backwards? Why do we fall backwards? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, I believe, is what you're going to see on the screen. Yes, I'm going to start reading at 15 here. It says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place." And verse number 16 says this. It says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." The wicked shall fall by calamity. Calamity in falling to me is falling backwards in the physical. If I'm doing something and I am falling out, so to speak, and I'm on my way backwards, to me, in the sense of falling, that's calamity. Because I don't know what's back there. I don't walk like this. When I'm doing something, I'm not constantly looking behind me while I'm doing it, waiting. A football player is never running down the field but trying to see whose leg is behind him, so when he gets smashed and he falls down, he can alleviate or he can help not hurt someone or himself. We're focused forward in the physical, and when we fall backwards, many, many times we see people with the back of their heads busted off of bathtubs or sinks because they fall backwards in their homes. So what happens to us if we are falling spiritually and we go backwards instead of forward? What happens to us? This verse right here is interesting. It says, for a man, a just man. You know, it didn't say a wicked man. It didn't say a spoiled man. It didn't say a worthless man. It didn't say a lazy man. It didn't say a greedy man. It says a just man. A righteous man. Whether you're looking at King James or New King James. It says that you're going to fall. You're going to fall. My question to you is this. Why do you think they used the word or the number seven times? In original Hebrew or Jewish culture, it's customary to restore a businessman seven times. So if a person is a business person, they own a furniture store, and their furniture store fails, the community is to restore them, to help them back. Once they repeat this process seven times, the community does not help the eighth time. The community comes up and says, you know what, you're not cut out to sell furniture, you need to find something else to do. In life, we fall, and people help to restore us. You follow? But have we ever got to a point in our life to where we fail and it didn't feel like there was anybody there to help pick you up? It felt like we was maybe on number 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, or maybe 15 or 18. We keep going back and falling down the exact same stairs forward or backward. It says that a just or a righteous man falls. So if the Bible is telling us that a just or a righteous man is going to fall, what does that say to us? The fall is imminent. The fall is on the way. So if we can take the stress off of our life worrying about, are we going to fall? So I'm telling you, yes, you're going to. If we're so worried about falling that it makes us paranoid, then we learned last week that we're living in fear. Right? Right? So if we could take that stress off of you, and I can tell you, we are all going to fall. But spiritually, I want you to learn to fall forward, not backwards. When we fall backwards, we start to lose ground. When you fall backwards, you get all sorts of disoriented, and you get all messed up, and you end up on your back. You have to roll over even to pick yourself up. So much so that, you know, they make little clickers that you click. And there was commercials in the 80s that had a lady that said, I've fallen and I can't get up. The truth of the matter is we really do fall and can't get up. The truth of the matter is that we really have fallen spiritually and can't get up. Is it the truth? Amen. We do fall and we struggle to get up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8 and 9. It tells us this. It says, we are troubled on every side. Does somebody feel that way? Yet not distressed. It's okay to be troubled and not be distressed. I want to tell you that if you're distressed, you might be falling towards the back instead of falling towards the front. And I'm falling backwards. I'm having some anxiety and some distress because I don't know there's a rake laying on the ground back there, or there's a shovel, or somebody conveniently left a claw hammer laying straight up on the grass. I'm having distress and issue with this. But if I go forward, I can help to guide. I can help to catch. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. These are more verses that are written that remind us that hard times are coming. There are times coming that we're going to be troubled. There's times coming that we're going to be perplexed. There are times coming we're going to be persecuted. There's going to become times when we feel like we are pressed down, when we feel like that we're being taken advantage of. During these moments, it's so easy to feel out of control, like you have fallen backwards. Because all the time we're not in sound of mind. All the time when we fall down or when things go bad. I know I got fired from a job one time. And as I got fired, I got home. And I remember looking at Amanda and she said, "Well, you'll just have to find another job." I said, "But I got fired. And I didn't even do nothing." I'll get into that another time. I really didn't do anything. Sometimes life throws you a curveball, or life throws you a problem. And we're not thinking clearly because we're perplexed, or because we're confused, or because we're a little bit disillusioned about what's going on. And I want to tell you that if you feel that way today, you have fallen backwards. You've not fallen forward in the Lord. You've not fallen forward in the Lord. Romans 3:23 tells us this: "For all have sinned and fallen short." So we're all in the same boat. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has a fallen spot in our life. So nobody's pointing any fingers at each other. But are we a bunch of fallen, broken individuals that have fallen forward? Now that's a different problem entirely. That's a different problem entirely. I want to challenge you today that in your life, when you fall, you need to learn to fall with intention. Fall with intention. Nobody ever has the intention of stumbling and falling and breaking a wrist or breaking the elbow or breaking the shoulder or breaking a hip. Nobody in the world has the intention. They don't wake up and crawl out of bed and say, "Lord, I can't wait to break a hip today." We don't do it because we're not intending on our life getting that out of control. We're intending on today being a repeat day as we have had in the past. And if something goes wrong, we're able to handle it. But all of a sudden, a person trips and falls on a stair and falls out by the wayside in the yard. They don't fall forward, they fall towards the back, and all of a sudden they have more problems than they woke up to bargain for. How many of us has woke up in the morning and we crawl out of bed and we go to work? The day just goes terrible. You end up spouting off at the mouth, and then things go from bad to worse to worse to worse, and then you spout off at your spouse on the telephone, or you spout off at your kids. And the day just snowballs. It just gets worse and worse. And worse, we've all had those days. Those days, you're falling backwards spiritually. You're not falling forward. You're not falling with intention. Why do we fall? Why do we fall? Physically and spiritually. What happens? Physically, we don't watch where we're going. Spiritually, we don't watch where we're going. Sometimes we don't clear our path. We try to step over something. Spiritually, we don't always clear our path. We leave the pitfalls where we can fall in them. Greed can cause us to fall, but money will not solve your problems. Cheating others may get you ahead today, but the Bible tells us that cheating will not last. Whatever we gain from that relationship, whatever we stole, that money that come our way by dishonest means, we got that refrigerator and sold it. We got that air conditioner and sold it. We took those tools and we sold them. The Bible tells us that the money just vaporizes in thin air. You don't even know where it went because it says it was caught. It was founded by dishonest means. Laziness causes us to fall. How about this one? Calloused attitudes. How many of us has have a failure day due to a bad attitude? And we just go from worse to worse to worse. It just keeps getting worse. Ladies and gentlemen, we're falling backwards. We're not intentionally living our life expecting the fall. So we're not looking to fall forward. How about this one? Calloused, hateful words. A hateful word is a little bit different than an attitude. The words of our mouth, we just let them go. And we create a snowball. We create a terrible thing in relationships in our lives to where we literally drive wedges in between us and our loved ones, or us and our jobs, or us and our neighbors, or whoever it is in our lives, us and our friends. Because we're not expecting the unexpected. And in our not expecting the unexpected, we are falling away instead of falling toward the only one who can help us. How about unforgiveness? Does unforgiveness cause us to trip and fall? Selah. It's a New Testament word for us to just wait and think about what was just said. After falling, how do you feel? How do we feel after we fail? Think about your best failure of the last week. Please don't tell me. Think about your best failure of the last week. And now think about your worst. Did you feel guilty? I know how you feel. Did you feel inadequate? How about dirty? Feel dirty. Like you crawled out of the pig pen. How about this? Did you feel that you're not good enough? How many times do we beat ourselves up with that? I'm just not good enough, Lord. I'm just not good enough for anybody. This is a great one. How about in our falling, we ruin trust with others? Have we done that? There's people not in our lives that we desperately want them there. And they're not there because we lost trust, because of something we did or something we said, because we calculated the fall backwards. We fell backwards instead of forward. How about this? Did you feel discouraged? Lord, I was doing so good. I was praying 10 minutes a day for the community. Lord, I was holding doors for people. I was trying to speak kind words, and then all of a sudden, and now you're discouraged. This thing happened, and now I feel discouraged. How about this one? Thoughts that you are broken or damaged goods. I'm broken. Nobody wants me. I'm damaged. I don't think right. I catch myself not acting right. I catch myself not saying the right thing. I catch myself using the wrong discretion, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. I don't feel worthy that I can have this in my life. How can I have a relationship with God like that? Because I'm this. How can I have a marriage like that? Because I'm like this. How in the world are my kids going to behave when I can't even get it right? This one I think is, what about disappointment in yourself? You sit in a corner and you beat yourself up because we get disappointed in myself. I knew better, but I said that anyway. I knew better, but I did it anyway. I know God says don't steal, but I took it anyway. I know God's word says for me to give forgiveness, but I just don't want to let it go. I know God's word says for me to speak respectfully, and then out comes that word. I just get discouraged. Do we feel that way, people of God? Amen. We feel that way. Let me tell you, you feel like this because you are not intentionally in the right mind to be able to fall forward. You don't quite understand what God wants for you in life. And so when we're going through and we're bumbling through and things happen, we're beating ourselves up instead of saying, you know what, God? I knew this was coming. I knew this was going to happen. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to run the race again. And when I slip and fall, I knew it was coming. Is there a difference when you know you're going to fall versus when you don't? Absolutely. If I come up here and lay on the floor and stick my legs out and tell you to drag your feet and shuffle quickly across the floor, I'm going to trip you. You're going to be ready to catch yourself. That's the absolute truth. If I'm walking behind my children, they can guarantee, they'll tell you, Dad's going to kick the heel of my foot so that I trip over the other one. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try to do it when they're like, oh, look at that over there. Oh. This is the way that life treats us. We're not focused on God. When we're at the zoo and we're just enjoying ourselves, or we're in downtown to some city we've never been and we're like, look at this. Look what God made. We're at the Grand Canyon, or you're at Niagara Falls. And it's like, I am just in awe. And then here comes Dad. You see, that's how life does it. It is a master at tripping us up and throwing us the curveball, the unexpected things when we're not expecting it. And those are the moments when we get overly angry and we lash out and then we feel guilty or we feel disappointed or we feel like we're not good enough. Those are the moments when we say, you know what, I've had a bad day at work, so I'm going to ruin every relationship in my life just because I'm sick of it. We have those days because you're not prepared for the fall. In you being unprepared, you lash out. That's what humanity does. Humanity lashes out in anger when you're surprised. That's what it does. I want to tell you today, you are going to experience a fall in your life. And today we have to get it in our minds, what is it that the Bible is telling us to do so that we are ready for it, so that we don't have those surprises that sets back our whole day. I want you to get to the point to where you're at work and things go bad. You get a ticket on the way to work and you're already mad because you got a ticket. Well, you did wrong anyway, but then you get there and you start letting somebody else have it. It's a possibility, people, to get that ticket and to pick yourself up off the side of the road. It's not going to ruin my day. God doesn't want it to ruin my day. God doesn't want it to ruin my life. God doesn't want me to set myself back. God doesn't want me to put myself in bondage. God doesn't want me to beat myself and to browbeat myself and then to go and beat everybody in my life just because one fall happened. Isaiah 41:10. It tells us this. I'm talking with intention in falling. When you play football, what is the intention in falling? The intention in falling is to hit the ground and bounce back up. You got to stay on that ball until the play is over, until you hear the whistle. You have to stay in the play. That's how life is. You have to stay at it until you feel like God blows the whistle and says, all right, everybody take a break. You hit the ground, you have to come right back up. You can't lay there because depression will get on you. You can't lay there because you'll start posting on Facebook that I'm broken goods and I'm no good and nobody wants me. And you sit around and you keep saying it over and over and over again until, guess what? Nobody wants to be around you. I wonder why.
Because we are creating reality with the words that we speak. Amen? I want to create a lifestyle of falling forward, not a lifestyle of perpetually falling backwards. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Does that mean that when you fall that God's with you? Amen? Do not be dismayed, for I'm with you. What's dismayed mean? What's dismayed mean? Sidetracked, discouraged. Don't be put off from the task at hand. Don't give up on participating in life just because something went wrong. You don't get dismayed because you know that, you know what? This fall, I didn't see it coming. I was ready for it because I'm intentionally falling into God's arms. So I'm waiting to fall every day of my life. But when it happens, I don't have to be dismayed because I know that God's here with me. It says that I will strengthen you and I will help you. You're not in this on your own. Stop acting like it. You're not on some trek by yourself. Your plane didn't crash and you was the only one in it with no food or medical supplies, and now you're traipsing through the wilderness in 1890. This is not the case. Wasn't any airplanes there either. It's not the case. You're not alone. You might feel alienated because of the thoughts in our own head. You might do it to yourself. You might feel discouraged. And you might feel like you have let yourself down. And you might feel like you let other people down. You can't let Him down. Because right there in the middle of your fall, He's standing there waiting to help you right back up. He wants you to get back up. He wants you to get back in the game. He wants you to get back to participating. He doesn't want you to trip and fall and then, I'm never going to church again because they won't accept that I've tripped and fallen. That's not how it works. I tripped and fell, so I'm never going to have a relationship again. I tripped and fell at school, so I'm never going to try to finish it. I tripped and fell, so I'm just going to give up. No, we're going to fall. Fall into the arms of God and let Him get you back up. Let Him get you back up. I will uphold you with the righteousness of my right hand. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you. For I know the plans that I have for you. Is the plan for you to be discouraged? Is the plan for you to be dismayed? Is the plan for you to be broken? Is the plan for you to be damaged? Is the plan for you to not know the answer? Is the plan for you to be foolish? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's plan for us is to prosper you and to not harm you and to give you hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. If you can't intentionally wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Lord, today's not going to go perfect. I already know that because Pastor Chris told me. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to go at it to the best of my ability. And when I trip and fall, when I get that speeding ticket, when I do this, when I say that, and I fall, I know for a fact that you are there to catch me. I know for a fact that I'm not alone. And I know that you have plans for me. Plans to prosper me and plans to forgive me, plans to give me hope and plans to give me a future. And I know that you want to set my feet back on the path. How much easier is it to get yourself up? How much easier is it to get yourself up? I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not dismayed. I'm in an inflated boat with duct tape stuck over a hole with a broken oar too. Most of the time, my river don't even have enough water in it to carry you down it. You have to drag the boat. People of God, we're all in the same boat. There are no big eyes or little yous. We alienate ourselves and we beat ourselves up because we are surprised at the way things are going. But I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged today that this is not the will of God for your life. This is not the will of God for your life. The will of God is for you to be whole and for you to be delivered and for you to be set free. And the will of God is for you to fall over and over and over again and learn every time you fall not to repeat the same mistake again. If we're walking along and we trip and fall and we go back and we do the exact same thing again, whose fault is it that time? It's our fault. Our life, we are going to slip and we are going to fall and we are going to tumble down the hill over and over and over again. But stop lying there. Don't lay there. Fall and then get up because God knows you're going to fall. He's not surprised that we trip up. He's not surprised that we fall. He's not surprised that we sin. He's not surprised that we say something angry. He's not surprised that we do something at work and something bad happens or something great happens. God's not surprised. We are. And if we know it's coming, you hear me say all the time, you're either coming out of a problem, you're going into a problem, or you're in the middle of a problem. You know it's coming. Be ready for it. Be ready for it. Wake up in the morning and say, I know how you feel about me. And be honest with the man. I'm going to mess up today. But don't let me lay there and ruin my whole day. Don't let me lay there and miss an opportunity to spread the gospel. Don't let me lay there and think that I'm worth nothing, or to think that I have just let everybody down, that I can never go back home or I can never talk to somebody again. Amen? You don't lay there. Several months ago, you heard me tell a story. I told you a story about when I was in high school, how I ruined a friendship with my very best friend from, I don't know, kindergarten or first grade. We were still sleeping on mats on the floor. And I've spent 20 years wishing him a happy birthday. I've spent 20 years saying, how is your family? I've spent 20 years, a couple of times a year, I get in touch with his parents. Or I've even spoke to his wife on the phone, but I've not spoke to him. His kids even answered the phone one day, and I got to speak to them, but I've never gotten to speak with him. And I told you when I told you the story, I said, I failed and I messed up 20 years ago that I still am paying for it today. But then I said this, I will not stop. I will not stop because I am intentionally falling forward. I'm intentionally going through life a little bit better today. You know what? I did say that, but I'm a little better today than I was yesterday. And then here I go, and then, oh, I fall. You know what? This relationship is bad again because I messed it up. But I'm going to get up. I know how God feels about this. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to keep moving forward. You see, some people get saved, and they get to going, they trip, they fall, they stumble, they fall back, and then you find them 5 or 10 years from now, and they're not even in church anymore. It's because they're falling backwards, not forward. It's discouraging to fall backwards. It's discouraging to feel like that we're not getting anywhere in life. It's discouraging to feel like success is going to other people and not coming to us. But I want to tell you this. My birthday this year, my friend spoke to me for the first time in 21 years. That's right. That's right. He said, happy birthday, old friend. I don't care what he calls me. I spent 20 years, almost 21, 20 and a half, looking for those four words.
Looking for those four words. I'm telling you, people of God, if you will stay with God and you will keep doing it His way and you won't worry about the things that are going wrong, but you know that I am not going to have it all together today. I'm going to fail. But when I fail, I'm falling into the arms of God, and then He's going to forgive me. He's going to set me free. He's going to help me get up. He's going to dust me off, and then I need to go on my way. And you don't keep worrying about the past. Don't keep worrying about the nonsense. The things in your life that you seek, they will come into fruition. God is looking to put you back together. Our lives are these puzzles. And God is looking to put your puzzle back together. But too many times, this is what we do. I'm putting my puzzle together. Here's my relationships. Because the day went bad. I fell backwards. And then we find ourselves right back. Here's a relationship again. Here's my kids. Here's my job. I got a ticket. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. We don't have to keep going forward and then backward and then forward and then backward. Stand to your feet. God knows the plans that He has for you. Plans to prosper you and plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a future. Plans to heal you and set you free. Plans to fix the broken things in your life that we do indeed do to ourselves. But I'm going to tell you something. You have to let Him do it. You have to let Him do it. You have to let the pity go. You have to let the always me, feeling sorry for me. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. I know life is hard. I know things don't work out the way we calculate them. That's why we have to intentionally fall into the arms of God. And even if it takes 20 and a half years to get four words of victory, I want to tell you it's worth it. Stay in there. Don't give up. People of God, from this day forward, I want you to make your mind up that I'm not falling backwards anymore. That as I put the puzzle of my life together, here's a kid and here's a kid's spouse and here's a job and I got a raise. And don't mess it up by getting out of control. If you know you're falling into the arms of God, He has all the control that you need. He has all the answers you could ever need. We don't have to keep going back and redoing the same nonsense, the same Groundhog Day over and over and over again. And over again. The altar is open. I want to invite you to let it go. I want to invite you to say, you know what? My way don't work. My way don't work. I want to give you the opportunity to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, God, speak to your people. No more repeats, people of God. Amen. It's okay to fall. But when you pick yourself up, realize that you're 5 feet, 6 feet, 4 foot, 10 feet farther up the path.
than you was when you let it go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, let them leave it. Let them leave it. God, continue the puzzle and put it together. In Jesus' name. God, help to get it in our head that we're going to fail, that we're going to mess up. And that's okay. We ask for forgiveness and we dust ourselves off and we continue forward. We don't go backwards anymore. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would everybody worship Him for a couple of moments as Amanda sings? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. Lord, You know. Lord, You know. I love You. Father, when we fall short, just help us pick ourselves up. Mighty God, Lord, we love You so much. We love You so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. In your rising up and your lying down, you're going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Would you give your response to me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. If you're praying, stay. If you're praying, stay. Father, continue to speak to those in Jesus' name.